Welcome, everyone, to another Capes and Scowls Does Scowls Top 4. Today, I will be doing my top four or Mount Rushmore of animated series in general. I am joined by
Rich,
and you're going to get to listen to us tell you what our top four favorite animated series are. When we came up with the idea to do this one, I already knew we were going to have an overlap. That's just guaranteed because we're both fanboys of a series, and you'll figure that out if you listen to more of these. So, Rich, would you like to kick us off with your Mount Rushmore of animated series?
I'm going to start off with X-Men the Animated Series. That was one that Wall to Wall is probably one of my favorite cartoons growing up. The intro song kicked so much ass. The characters that they added out, the broad spectrum of possible X-Men characters, the ones that they scooped up for the show were like the best ones. The storylines were great. The animation was great. One of my favorites.
The arcade game is great.
It's got Nightcrawler in it. I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, it's a win right there.
Yeah, I definitely really enjoy this series. I was a little younger than you when it came out, so I don't remember it as much, but I have gone back and watched it since then. And
yeah,
it's a good one if you're it's a great one if you're a comic book fan and want good X-Men content.
Wake it up Saturday morning, man. You got some rockin' breakfast. You sit down, that music kicks in, you're ready to go.
Right. Yeah. No, your little world is ready to be rocked.
Oh yeah.
All right. So I will start with one of the shows that was big for me growing up, and that is Dragon Ball Z. I was one of those kids that was at Sam Goody pre-ordering the VHSs to watch it before it came out on Toonami.
Sam Goody.
Right, there's a callback to something that's long gone. Most of you people listening to this have no idea what Sam Goody is. It was a place where you went to buy DVDs and cassettes. Google cassette. So I love Dragon Ball Z. It's just, you know, like your anime, like baddie shows up, good guys need to get stronger to take on baddie, good guys ultimately triumph. But like, I don't know, it just was just so integral, like in my life as a child, just watching it. Like there was nothing else like it that I could watch. And like I watched it with my dad, which was cool. He was into it. And just listening to somebody scream for 38 minutes over four episodes was always an exciting thing to happen. But like the thing that like sticks in the most about it is the first time Goku becomes a Super Saiyan fighting Frieza is just etched in my memory. It's like holy crap, he did it. This thing they've been talking about for a long time is real.
Yeah.
There's no way you can beat this.
It's pretty epic.
And like the music that goes along with that fight is awesome. I love this show so much. It has definitely had its lulls and some things to slog through, but like the feels that I get just thinking about it far outweigh anything else.
Yeah.
So Rich, what is your second Mount Rushmore?
My second pick is I have to represent the Filoniverse when it comes to Star Wars. This is actually probably tougher for me than maybe most Star Wars fans to pick between either Clone Wars or Rebels, but I'm gonna have to go with the Clone Wars. There's a lot. It's a very dense show. There's a lot going on in there. They expand on a lot of characters in it to kind of put a lot of the original trilogy into a much deeper context. There's like these sprawling war campaigns, and then there's stuff where they go into like the concept of the Force in general, where they get trapped in alternate dimensions and stuff. It's amazing. Seven seasons of it, like throughout. There's, you know, within seven seasons of a show, there's maybe about half dozen episodes that are just not good. But I mean, for seven seasons of a show, that's amazing.
Yeah, most series have a couple low points in them. Especially when you're going on for that long.
Yeah. And there was very few. The animation style is unique, I feel, and it kind of makes it stand out in other cartoons. And it's a huge cast of characters, and it really goes into people that you just see in the background of like the sequel, the prequel trilogy. It's just kind of like characters you see in the background. They'll get like whole episodes or even hold like three episode arcs.
I think it's really cool when things like do that, like build up like the ancillary characters.
Yeah.
Like the thing I can think of the most like for that is like the like relating back to comics would be the Civil War frontline trade, where it's like all the events of Civil War, but from the perspective of like news reporters.
Yeah.
And like just people around the town. It's like, well, they're all in the background of the panels of like the main comics, but like, what are these people actually thinking? Like getting stuff like that, like the deep world building is always awesome.
Yeah. Just makes subsequent rewatches or rereads so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. So my second one, I'm going to stick with another anime would be Naruto / Naruto Shippuden, which is the first and second half of it. It's just another cool like thing. Like he's a kind of like a outsider kind of character, doesn't really have many friends, and is just really trying to do his best. And like I could relate to that on some level as a kid. So it like kind of stuck with me. And like I enjoy the art style. I like ninjas. They're cool. Who doesn't like ninjas? Let's be real. Everyone likes ninjas. And like
the ability blind to like, yourself if you don't.
Like the ability to do like some of the stuff they can do is cool. And then like super important characters get like introduced that are just like, oh, I love like when characters get introduced with not much of a backstory, but like everyone is like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, it's not that guy. And you're like, oh no. Oh no. Like that guy. I've never heard of that guy.
Oh man.
But like this character that I've been led to believe is awesome is afraid of like this guy that I don't know anything about. So like I guess maybe that's like why I have like this such an appreciation for like John Wick, right? Like there's no backstory on him. It's just shit. You fucked with John Wick.
Yeah. John Leguizamo was slapping people. Just right. Straight up slapping people for messing with John Wick.
Right. So it's like it's got all that. So like I've watched, I don't know, there's like 780 episodes of it. And I've seen all of them. There are definitely low points, but like for the most part, like I love what the series does and everything that happens in it.
Yeah. And how many episodes? It's gotta be like 500.
It's almost 800.
Almost 800. God.
Between the two.
Daunting.
It is. It's a big ask to watch it. So what's your third one, Rich?
So for my third one, I think I'm gonna take a trip into the DC properties. So it was kind of a, you know, a Tim verse or, you know, or something more recent. I think I'm going to go with Young Justice. I think Young Justice feels like a continuation of the fantastic JLU, which that's amazing. But it takes a deep dive into the effect that being the next in line would have on like the younger series of heroes.
Yeah.
All heroes through and through, but just the different effects that, you know, living in the shadow of the Justice League, what it would do to these people. The animation style is fantastic. The adaptations of the comic book storylines are all fantastic. I think it's just a strong, well done show.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So I will follow you into the DC cartooniverse. I don't normally do this on these, but I had three that were all like right there. So the two that were nixed were the original Teen Titans cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, that's fantastic. Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I picked was Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
And like, I was like splitting hairs between those three. And the reason why I settled on Justice League Unlimited is solely on one episode alone. And that was the Grundy episode. Where like he does ultimately die in the end, but like it's the whole story of Grundy, how he gets stuck there. I love Grundy. He does not get enough love in the comic books. Brad Meltzer needs to write Grundy. That's my pitch in this. Brad Meltzer, give me Grundy, all of it. I'll take it all up, every bit of it.
Yeah,
because like, you got like Hawkgirl like learning that Grundy isn't just like a mindless beast. Like he was a person. He's been cursed. It's like it's so emotional and like just everything in it is so good.
Just like, an unnecessary dive into a personality of a character that most people are gonna forget, but it was so good.
Right. I love, like I've said before, I love when like lesser known characters get like their chance to shine.
Yep. Yep. That, and it's just stuff, you know, like the episode where it was Batman and who was it went to go? It was the Flash day, so it was Batman and I forget the character that came down with them, but they were just basically going through like the day to day life of the Flash and how he like he goes to a bar and he makes sure that the Trickster gets his medication, you know?
Right. Flash genuinely cares about like the baddies in his life.
Yeah,
like, and it's just like. It's that sort of stuff that like just makes you like really connect with everything. Yeah.
And just watching Batman have such a respect for the Flash for being basically the opposite of him. You know, like, you care about every single person in your city. You're not pretending. You're not whatever. Like, you do. You care about everyone.
Flash is the most important character in the DC-verse.
Yeah.
Without him, the Justice League falls apart. They lose their way.
Yeah.
He is the moral compass of the DCU.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a real good show.
Right, I think this is that time where, where you and I have... come to the conclusion that this is the best animated series.
Ring the Aang bell. we're about to nerd out on The Last Airbender again.
Yeah.
Because that's the most surprisingly fantastic show I've ever watched.
Nothing comes close to it.
No. There's been shows there's shows that are good, but this one just sucks you in. Every single character, I feel like, in this show has an arc.
Yeah, everyone gets, like, the appropriate amount of screen time. You learn just enough about everyone. Like, there's no detail that's, like, really left out. And it, like, it builds from episode one clean through to the end.
Yeah. Their interactions with each other change who they are. Everybody, you go into, like, Jet. He's had three episodes. But you can see a clear projection of like his character,
right?
You know, like Smeller B and the rest of his crew, like that. Even they have like character arcs and transitions and stuff. It's so well done.
The whole show is just basically about like growth.
Yeah,
and it like changing people's opinions of things. Like not everyone, not everything is how it appears. Not everything is how you think it should be. It's just about like growth for everyone. Like it doesn't skip a beat.
Yep. And people deciding that they, you know, like Katara, you know, how she battled to be, you know, like a female bender in like her tribe where they refuse to let women bend combatively. Yeah,
so it's like breaking gender norms, right? Like this show was like 2006 or 2007.
Yep.
Maybe a little earlier than that. I think it was earlier than that. Like that's like was not stuff that happened in a child's cartoon then.
Mm-mm.
Like, oh, and like we can both agree that like the greatest character of all time is in this, in Iroh, who is just a well of doing the right thing in life.
Yeah.
And
every show needs an Iroh.
Like you should always like support the people you care about, even if they're down the path, because you need to help them find their way. Well, folks, before we, Avatar, which I'm probably going to start again because we started talking about it. We're going to call it there. See ya.